good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy snowy hump day, Melody.
Are you getting lots of snow?
Oh, it is blowing hard. It's actually blowing nearly sideways where I'm looking out right now.
Well, to some degree, that's a good thing. Because then when it's sideways, you don't have to shovel. Because it keeps it off the high spots. You might get a lot of drifts, but maybe? No?
Perhaps.
I mean, it has to land somewhere. So, always try to think of the positive, Dave.
Yes, you do.
And when I realize there's no positive. But anyway, we had a good positive day in gold. Let's see. We have gold up 1120 in the New York spot price aftermarket, 1866. Silver is up 91 cents, almost a buck, $25.46. Platinum was down three, 1038. Palladium down 25 at 2329. The USDX today had to be lower, down 0.23 at 90.25. We'll see if she breaks 90 tomorrow, or they're going to fight for it at this level. Crude oil was up 23 cents at 47.85. And we're pretty early with waiting for the last minute of the numbers to come through. But right now, the Dow is down 44 points at 30,154. The NASDAQ was up 63. 12,658. The S&P was up 6 at 3,701. 10-year yield, 0.92%. Oh, Europe and Asia was happy overnight with Germany tacking on 1.5% on their market. And other than that, it's the same old thing. But we're going to go to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. She is not the same old thing. She always brings us lots of new information, and we always appreciate it here each and every Wednesday. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melanie. Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Snow is not a good thing.
Oh, it can be.
Oh, if you're a kid, but I don't like
it. You know, it can be. Snow angels, snowmen. Come on.
Oh, I moved south of the Mason-Dixon for get rid of that. Well, I'm done. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're going to talk about an FDA update on the COVID vaccine, okay? There's lots of reports on the vaccines coming out. It's kind of a mixed bag of fantasy and fraud, in my opinion. But we know that there's three major vaccines being released, Moderna, Pfizer's BioNTech, and Oxford's AstraZeneca. And they all have been touted by the media as being the breakthrough novel technology, effective rates in 85 percentile, so blah, blah, blah. So there's a few leaks that we've been getting on the vaccines while they were in human trials, and they were all suspended at some point during a human trial for unwanted events. But there was kind of scant details about what the events were. Slight flu-like symptoms is what the media was saying. But the drug company said there was nothing to see regarding side effects. But in one case, we did hear of a neurological illness, but then the drug company blamed it on the volunteer patient for having the disease prior to the trial, which is not correct, I hear. So we're going to see what the FDA and some other physicians are saying about this hastily made vaccine that has been fast-tracked to skip important test protocols. Now, there's two physicians recently reported on my own show, Dr. Michael Udron, and he's of the UK, and Dr. Wolfgang Ward of the Germany. They're warning people that the Pfizer COVID vaccine is very dangerous, especially for pregnant women. Now, according to these doctors, Pfizer did not follow standard diagnosis protocols when they were developing the vaccine. And in their opinion, Pfizer has no scientific integrity So Dr. Yadron and Woodard have notified the European Medicine Agency, alleging Pfizer committed fraud, and the study conducted by the drug company did not properly diagnose COVID cases to confirm infection and establish a vaccine efficiency rate. What they were saying in their report was there was a test of this vaccine in two different countries, and what Pfizer did is they kind of hunt and picked out the information from each country, the test, and they put it together as one test for the FDA, which you don't do that. According to the doctors, they say, quote, the risk of disease and potential vaccine benefit can't be measured or determined with their accuracy. So they're saying, do not take this if you're pregnant, the Pfizer COVID vaccine. These doctors are stating that the vaccine has spike proteins for SARS and COVID viruses, and it offers a risk of autoimmune disease, and also due to the ingredient polyethylene glycol. They say this vaccine, they state, offers a destruction to the female reproductive system. Essentially, the Pfizer COVID vaccine attacks the placenta on both animals and humans, and it causes infertility, miscarriage, and birth defects. Not good. No. The doctors are also warning there's a risk of death with this vaccine, and I'm going to confirm that with an FDA safety surveillance list in just a minute. They said that the COVID vaccine has a high likelihood to create what is called pathogenic priming, which causes non-neutralizing antibodies, and that antibody attacks you, the host. So the vaccine has not been tested for prevention effects, they said, and when patients may come in contact with a wild virus of COVID after they've been vaccinated with this vaccine, the effective rate is not going to be there to help them at all. Really no evidence the vaccine actually prevents infection, they said. Actually, they're saying the opposite is true, which is pretty scary. So the vaccine infects a person with the COVID-19 virus, causes what they said is an exaggerated immune response. And when the person comes in contact with a natural virus containing COVID, the immune system will overreact and destroy you. So you'll have an autoimmune response, an unnatural one. Wow. So. Yeah. They also said Pfizer did not include in any of the reports animal fatalities in the animal trials. All the animals they gave the vaccine to died.
Wow.
So, yeah. Let's get to the real juicy part, shall we?
I just want to say one thing. This morning I heard they were reporting on these vaccines, and the headline was the FDA. It was the last one. I think it was the AstraZeneca one, okay, where it said it seemed to be. I'm thinking, isn't that a heck of a thing to feel confident about? It seems to be okay. Really, that's the best you can do?
Science supposed to be factual? Science is supposed to be factual.
Yeah. There shouldn't be anything seems to be about it.
Right. Well, the FDA list on the COVID vaccine has listed some serious health conditions. So the FDA's Vaccine Advisory Committee met on October 22nd, and they produced this report called The Vaccines and Related Biological Products. And at this meeting, Dr. Steven Anderson, who's the Director of Biostatistics and Epidemiology for Biologic Evaluation and Research, presented a working list of possible adverse event outcomes from COVID vaccines. However, the list came from a more detailed presentation that Dr. Anderson gave, and those that get your newsletter, Melanie, will have a hot link in there if they want to go listen to the whole thing. So there are their list has over 20 conditions that a person can contract after they get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine, and most of them are life-threatening. Let me just say, death is on the list. It's like halfway down. Whew. I know. So according to Dr. Steven Anderson, he says this list is a working draft of very serious adverse events and does not include all the minor and unstudied negative health outcomes that will result from these injections. So let's just start. I'll kind of give you the highlights. Guillain-Barré is number one. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, means paralysis, and you could die from that. They also have a lot of encephalopathy, inflammation of the brain, transverse myelitis. They have stroke, convulsions and seizures, narcolepsy, anaphylactic shock, acute myocardial infarction, myocarditis and pericarditis, autoimmune diseases, death, I'm reading death now, and a pregnancy and birth outcomes. They didn't want to say exactly what that means. The other doctors did. Also, other acute demyelinating diseases. They have thrombosis on here, so there's blood clot issues, arthritis and joint. So that, you know, your immune system is going to attack your joints because you have autoimmune disease, and the immune system is now attacking what it thinks is the culprit, what the vaccine is the culprit. Also, it's going to cause, get this, multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. And vaccine, and then lastly on the list, it's just a general note. It says vaccine enhanced disease. Well, now they're admitting vaccines give you disease. Isn't that something? Yeah. So, like I said, they'll get a video presentation link in the newsletter that you put out, The American Survival. Let me translate some of these risks for you, just to give you an idea. Let's just pick a list of the disease in the COVID-19. For instance, transverse myelitis. People go, what is that? It's a serious nervous system disorder. And what happens is the vaccine causes an unnatural immune system response, and it attacks the person's cells and disrupts messages that the spinal cord nerves send to your body. So your symptoms of this disease would be back pain, sharp radiating pain down your extremities, muscle weakness and spasms, numbness in your extremities, paralysis of your arms and legs, sensitivity to touch causing extreme pain, fever, loss of bladder and bowel control, and loss of appetite. Now, who would roll up their sleeve for that? Really?
The last one's not bad, loss of appetite. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's the new diet.
You're going to look at the
diet vaccine.
If you're going to say snow's great, you're going to say that's great. Okay. Another example of disease, the vaccine can also create what is called a thrombocytopenia, which really thins the blood, lowering blood platelet count so low, so much that the blood is unable to clot, and it causes internal bleeding. On the other end of that pendulum, the vaccine can also cause the opposite condition, which is venous thrombosis causing blood clots, obviously, in your veins. So there's a lot of virologists and physicians that have kind of come forward saying, hey, COVID-19 is an influenza that is manageable with therapeutics, minerals, vitamins, and there's a low risk of death if you go with the natural therapeutics, and no residual side effects. You wouldn't have to risk your nervous system or your brain or your heart or anything.
Why aren't they manufacturing the antibody cocktail that Trump and his buddies have received? Why aren't they mass producing that?
Well, they said they were gonna. I
haven't heard about it.
Well, and I listened to an interview that Peter McCullough gave to Senator Johnson. There was this hearing. Congressman Johnson invited a bunch of health experts to come give him the lowdown. What are our options to treat COVID other than just the vaccine? And Dr. Peter McCullough, he's a cardiologist at Baylor. And he was saying, you know, he's been to India. India is a very crowded country. And people don't really social distance there because it's very crowded. And he says, but they're getting, hydroxychloroquine, like pieces of candy are passed out to kids at Halloween. And they have a very low death rate, lower than ours. And they have a higher population according to square miles. And he was really disturbed. He said that Lancet, and I think JAMA magazine, Journal of the American Medical Association, had published two papers, he said. And he said, this is coming from my realm, science. He says, they published two papers that were fraudulent, and they were retracted 2 weeks later. But it was enough time for doctors to read it, doctors to advise patients, and for the media to scare people away from using some natural therapeutics that work very well, and hydroxychloroquine is just one of them. And it's an anti-malarial drug, and they add the zinc sulfate to it because the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health found out in 2019, if you have adequate zinc, you're less likely to get infected with COVID. The zinc protects your cells, the outer layer of your cells, and a virus can't dock to the cell and infect you. So a lot of what I see is low minerals. People are on prescription drugs, which flush the minerals out of their system, so their immune system struggles a bit for what is considered by Johan Gazik, a famous Norwegian virologist, who says it's just a flu bug. Most people have come in contact with it, so they will test positive, but they don't all get sick. And he said a minority may get sick, but not the majority. He says this is quite draconian, what is going on. So so science knows it's a mineral depletion. They do. They've known it for a while. And so the First Lady and President Trump, I think they got, a lot of mineral injections. I think they got some, vitamin and mineral support when they were in care. I really do.
I remember many, many years ago, an employee came to work, and then they were diagnosed with MRSA, so I had to go to the doctor and get checked and so forth. And the doctor said, well, you know what, most of all of us here at the offices and in their clinics and so forth, he says, we're probably all carrying the MRSA bug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
says, but it's just not active.
Well, they know what kills MRSA.
And it's kind of like the same thing.
Yeah, and they know what kills MRSA in a skinny minute. They have clinical trials on this. It's garlic.
Yeah.
So if you got MRSA on your skin, put some garlic juice on it, because clinical trials studies have said kills it in a skinny minute. Yeah.
But, I mean, my point was, it's almost the same thing like, the COVID. I mean, you can test positive and stuff, but it's not, like, activated.
Right. It's sort of like, you had the chicken pox when you were a kid, right? You're going to test positive for that, too. But, it's just, I think what you're seeing is, the Trump administration is trying to come up with various solutions so people feel safe about COVID, so they'll all go back to work.
We do need to go back to work, but that's not
happening. Yeah, I know, but, people don't shut down for the regular flu because you got flu shots. See what I mean?
And, I think also, and this is just my opinion, I don't know if we have time, and no, well, we don't.
Well, okay, thepowerherbs.com, we have a Christmas sale going on, 35% off $50 or more on your purchase. Use the coupon XMIS20. Details are on the homepage at thepowerherbs.com, or give us a call at 866-229-3663. Always a pleasure.
All righty, thank you. Well, we have a few minutes left. What I was going to say is, you had Pfizer was working supposedly on a coronavirus vaccine back in the 90s, and they said this was how they were able to, come up with one so quick. And I'm thinking, well, it's just the flu thing they were working on.
Yeah.
So
they've been tinkering with COVID since the 60s, though. Yeah.
Hey, well, we're out of this break, and we're heading into a few commercials, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, Dave, we've talked about it in the beginning of the program about snow. The East Coast is just planning, is getting slammed by both snow, and ice is a big problem, big problem. And I can remember being in Missouri. We got, I think we had like a half an inch of ice, which is huge. And afterwards, driving through town with all the, it actually looks like it was a war zone with trees. And I mean, it is so devastating what ice can do. And I can remember also driving, visiting Pennsylvania when I lived in Arizona, and we were driving back to Arizona. And we took the southern route. We went down and across Virginia and so forth. And they had just had an ice storm like a day or two before. And it is also the most beautiful scenery that you can see when the trees are covered with ice, with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of just a sun and light. It's just absolutely beautiful, but it's also very dangerous. So, and again, we're going to see a lot of New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Boston, all of these. Even Pennsylvania, there's a proclamation of a disaster emergency ahead of this storm. So predictions of between 18 inches and 2 feet in some parts of Pennsylvania. So we have a lot of customers, a lot of listeners, a lot of friends in these areas. So please be safe. And I know most of you have all your survival stuff, your generators and your extra food, your water. So I know you'll be able to take care of yourself. So that's the whole point of being prepared. That's what we talk about, financial preparedness. When we talk about gold and silver, you have to be prepared there also. Well, you know, Dave, in the last policy meeting of 2020, you had the Federal Reserve. They did make a key adjustment to its efforts to support the economy. And the Fed held the benchmark interest rate near zero following their two-day meeting. And investors are watching whether the Fed would outline outcomes-based guidance, in which it would state that the conditions necessary for a reversal in policy. Now, the Fed delivered in that respect, saying it would continue to buy at least $120 billion of bonds each month until substantial further progress has been made toward the FOMC's maximum employment price stability goals. $120 billion of bonds. The statement added, these asset purchases help foster smooth market functioning, of course, and accommodative financial conditions, thereby supporting the flow of credit to households and businesses. It's kind of hard to support the flow of credit to households and businesses when they're out of business and you're not working. The committee did not, however, say it would extend the duration of these purchases. The Fed already had committed to not raising rates until inflation exceeds its 2%. Let's see what else is important in that. What else do you see in there, Dave, if you're there?
Well, yeah, bear with me a second.
Some computer issues.
Well, in addition to changing the language about the around the bond buying program, Fed officials did elevate their outlook on the economy since their September forecast. The median expectation for GDP this year now is a decline, negative 2.4% for the year. That's compared, it's actually more optimistic than their negative 3.7 they projected back in September. And the outlook for next year is pegged at 4.2% compared to 4 previously and 3.2% in 2022. The longer-term outlook from there was reduced just slightly to 2.4% in 2023 and 1.9% beyond that. Now, the FOMC also offered a considerably more optimistic outlook on headline employment. In 2020, the full-year rate's now projected to be the current 6.7% rate. That's down almost a full percentage point from September's projection. And for next year, the median projection is for 5%, while the two subsequent years are 4.2 and 3.7%. Now, what
they're
that
only
means,
hoping.
Yeah. Well, now what that really means is, you know, including the discouraged workers and those who've actually stopped, expect the rate to be close to double those headline numbers, and that's at a minimum. Now, in terms of inflation, officials still expect to be shy of their objective of 2.0% until 2023, although the next couple of years did see a very slight increase to their outlooks, all under 2% again. Now, language elsewhere in their post-meeting statement showed basically no change from their November meeting. The Fed still sees economic activity recovering, but well below, in their words, the pre-pandemic level. They still believe the pandemic will, in its words, continue to weigh on economic activity, employment, and inflation in the near term, and pose considerable risks, again, their words, to the economic outlook over the medium term.
What was our high GDP during the Trump administration? We never went over 5, did we?
Aside the 33% of last quarter, did we get over 5?
Did we ever get over 4?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
So my question is, we had the greatest economy ever, and we were barely probably going over between 4 and 5, we'll say. I mean, we certainly didn't do 6, 7, or 8.
Oh, God.
So their outlook now for GDP for 2021 is 4.2. So they're expecting us to be in 2021 almost the same as we were with the greatest economy ever in the past 4 years. How's that going to work? Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. Well,
I mean,
as you would expect. Now, I mean, are you talking about quarter or year? I mean, for annual rates have all been under 4%. In fact, I think the highest was barely over 3. 2 years ago. So now they're on a quarterly basis. There may have been a quarter here and there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Here, the Fed is saying that the outlook for 2021 is now at 4.2, compared to 4 previously, and 3.2% in 2020 versus 3. So I mean, it just seems like I think those are very optimistic. And that's if we stay on this status quo, that things keep improving. That's all right. Based on things improving. Well, we know they're not going to continue to improve. But they have to give these positive numbers. They have to. Because I don't think they could continue to talk about buying the amount of bonds that they're purchasing and say that it's not healthy.
Essentially having any effect.
Right. Yeah. So it's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. Unless you're a multimillionaire or billionaire.
Yeah.
If there's a trickle down effect, it's from the billionaires to the very multimillionaires.
Yep. Retail sales, they fell more than expected in November. And again, it's just the sign of a slowdown in the economy. Again, I mean, there's not a lot of focus on the various cities and states that are basically shutting down. Of course, there's a few in the news, but we don't know what else is going on in so many parts around the country. California, we know, third largest economy in the world. That's not going to have an impact? I think so. Second straight monthly decline in retail sales. Maybe that'll push Congress for, another stimulus. Retail sales dropped 1.1% last month, with receipts declining almost across the board. Data for October, that was revised down to show sales slipping 0.1% instead of rising 0.3% as previously reported. So now October's dip has been the first since April, when the stringent measures to control the first wave of the virus, again, we saw just what it did to the economy. The plunge in sales last month was led by motor vehicles, with receipts at auto dealerships tumbling 1.7%. It was unchanged in October. Receipts at clothing stores? How about 6.8% plummeted? And does that include like Amazon, I wonder, or just your regular clothing outlet stores?
I think just the clothing outlet stores.
Stores.
I doubt it includes the middlemen like Amazon.
Well, even if the people took the 6.8% and went to Amazon, it goes to show you what the impact is on the clothing stores, that they're still getting hit by 7%, almost 7%. Of course, you know about eating and drinking out. Can't do that. Sales at restaurants and bars dropped 4%. Sales at electronics and appliance stores fell 3.5%. Furniture stores declined 1.1%, Dave.
Well, and there were also decreases in sales at sporting goods, hobby, musical instrument, and bookstores. So it's a widespread impact. Now, receipts at food and beverage stores rose, as did those at building material stores. Plus, online and mail order retail sales rose a modest 0.2%. There you've got that presumed Amazon effect. Now, excluding, here you go again, automobiles, gasoline, building materials, and food services, retail sales declined 0.5% last month. Now, these so-called core retail sales correspond most closely they say, with the consumer spending component of GDP, which again accounts for over two-thirds of the product. Now, weak retail sales added to data this month showing the economy, which plunged into recession at least as far back as February, added the fewest jobs in 6 months in November. We know that the number of people filing new claims for unemployment jumped to a near three-month high in the first week of December, and many state and local governments have imposed new restrictions, including threats of complete shutdown on businesses, while some consumers are avoiding shopping malls, restaurants, and bars. And of course, restaurants which moved outdoors over the summer are going to be struggling ever so much more with the arrival of cold weather. And the situation has been compounded by the loss of the weekly unemployment supplement of $600 and now more than $3 trillion in government pandemic relief from March is virtually depleted. That is, of course, for the $140 billion still sitting around in the U.S. Treasury's coffers. Melody.
Well, you know, with all of this news and so forth, you have the all the benefits set to expire December 26th?
Yeah.
I believe it is.
Yep.
And you know, you have these the congressional leaders, they're trying to wrap up a package of payments to individuals and supplemental unemployment insurance. And what irritates me most, we've talked about it here on this program before, I think Monday also, how it excludes related liability protections for businesses, COVID-related, and direct aid for state and local governments. So, you know, they're trying to finalize the package in time to attach it to a government spending bill. It just irritates me. They shouldn't attach anything to anything. But anyway, I'm not there, so I can't change anything. So they're trying to get that passed by the end of the week when funding runs out. The virus aid is expected to be less than $900 billion. Number two Senate GOP leader John Thune said he expects the deal on pandemic relief to provide direct payments of $600 to $700 for individuals and $300 per week in enhanced unemployment benefits. You know they'll get it done before the 26th. So dramatic. Such theatrics.
Well, you know, the thespian Thune said the goal is for the House to clear it in time for the Senate to give final passage on Friday, after which the government would have to shut down without further funding. Thune said it remains possible that lawmakers would have to approve another stopgap spending bill like they did last Friday to provide more time for the legislation to be finished.
Hey, Dave, we're heading into the break. We'll finish that up and we'll return for new topics. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold. gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. And just to finish up a little bit of financial news for those of you who are holding Bitcoin, yay! It broke through 20,000 for the first time in history today. And, of course, we're not sure where it's going to go, but so we'll see. And, I mean, there's so much. It certainly has gotten a big boost from some big-name investors like Paul Tudor Jones and Stanley Druckenmiller. They move their own assets into cryptocurrencies, and they can because they're billionaires. They can lose some. They can afford to lose some. And I'll guarantee you they'll be selling some. But, hey, for those who have it, I don't know how long you're going to hold on. What's the strike price to sell, Dave?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
Hold it until it drops.
You know, it's so speculative. I mean, it's like put your hand into a hat and pull out any number. And that could be it. I mean, what makes this or is giving this the semblance of a little more credibility right now are guys like Jones and Druckenmiller and some of the other firms, I mean, like Square, I mean, investing, using their own funds to invest in it. You know, to some, you know, it's acting like a domino effect, but in a positive way in this sense. But we know what happened just 3 years ago. I mean, when it got real close to 20,000, and then it's like, one of those big, oh gosh, what do you call those rides? They just go up and then for a split second, right before gravity kicks in and it goes bam, down to the bottom. I mean, it could very well happen again. And, you know, I'm convinced that the current hold on gold is a direct impact to all this ETF money. Particularly going into Bitcoin in particular, but some of the other major cryptocurrencies. So hold on, ladies and gentlemen, don't risk your precious assets on something that, by and large, is still a big mystery in terms of how it works and what it is. I mean, it's really bizarre.
Well, really, it's nothing.
Well, there you go.
At least on a, you used to get on paper stocks, you used to get paper. Now you truly get digits, just a bunches of X and O's, right? Isn't it ones and O's?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, even abstract paintings, you know, you can typically stand back from and figure out what they're meant to be. You know, whether it's a, you know, Monet or Van Gogh or Picasso. Bitcoin, however, it's like, I'm telling you, your guess is as good as mine.
Well, the dangerous thing about, I think, with the cryptocurrencies is because people think it replaces gold.
Yeah.
And that's how it is sold many times, that it's going to replace gold. And I'm sorry, not in our lifetime, not in your lifetime. And wealth has to be measured against something. And it can't be measured against digits. Wealth cannot be measured by digits. Wealth cannot be measured by paper. And it's gold is has been the measure of wealth. So that's not going to change. And everything is happy. Everything is going up. But just wait until there's a reversal. And then you see how fast it drops. And you have all that money will flow into gold. And that's just the way it works. Druckenmiller knows it. I mean, he was pumping gold there for a while until the stock market started going up. I mean, they changed their opinions, you know, with the wind, you know, based on what they can sell, based on what makes them money. They don't care about you preserving your wealth. They only care about preserving their wealth on your money. So, you know, if you buy it, it's great. You know, congratulations if you bought low. But the old saying, Dave, what is it? Buy low, sell high.
What goes up must come down.
And what goes up must come down. There was one other thing real quick before we move on, and that was, I'll just touch on this briefly, home builder confidence falls. After three straight months of record highs, home builder confidence in the single-family housing market did pull back in December. Builders say they are concerned that buyers are starting to experience sticker shock. Sentiment dropped 4 points to 86 in December. Now, this is according to the latest National Association of Home Builders Housing Market Index. That is now the second highest reading in the history of the index, which dates back to 85. And, of course, you know that the 50 number is always considered positive. Last December, the index stood at 76. Again, this is just another sign. It's at its height, and it's beginning to pull back. And I'll have to say, residential homes, oh my gosh, they're going up like overnight, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Communities are being built in the past 2-3 years, an amazing rate, speed. So just another sign. Levity is golden. What are we going to talk about this week today? What's the topic?
Melody, it's the future.
Oh no.
It's true. A company called Zoox, Z-O-O-X. It's a company funded largely by Amazon. Unveiled its version of the future of transportation the other day. Now, this one's an autonomous electric vehicle with no steering wheel that might one day be summoned with a ride-hailing app on your smartphone or whatever we're using then. Now, it's an important milestone for Zoox, which has ambitious plans to launch an urban robo-taxi, a service using purpose-built vehicles designed and built in-house. Now, those efforts received a boost in June when Amazon acquired the 6-year-old startup Zoox for reported $1.2 billion. At 12 feet long, the compact vehicle features a carriage-style seating with up to four passengers facing each other on two benches. It can travel in either direction, i.e. forward or backward, with motors at each end and four-wheel steering to enable maneuvering into tight spaces. The 133-kilowatt battery is among the largest in the industry, and it's capable of operating 16 hours between charges. For safety, it features innovative airbags that envelop and case, I guess, passengers to keep them separated in a crash. The vehicle also features a combination of sensors like cameras and radar and LIDAR to obtain a 270-degree field of vision on all four corners of the vehicle. Zoox's CEO, Aisha Evans, said the vehicle is an important milestone in the company's journey toward commercialization. She added that, as we see the alarming statistics around pollution and traffic accidents, it's more important than ever that we build a sustainable, safe solution that allows riders to get from point A to point B. No word yet on when Zoox plans to launch its app-based ride-hailing service, or how Amazon might employ the technology for delivery services in the future. If you want to take a look at this vehicle, it's a pretty Manila land square looking vehicle, like the Cube in a sense. Go to Google or your favorite search engine and type in Zoox. That, Melody, is this week's Levity is Golden.
You know what? I do hope that I am around to see a flying vehicle.
There you go, man. Jetsons enamored me from day one.
I want to do that. You know, and we know it's going... I don't know how it can be done with traffic and so forth and people running into everyone. But, you know, maybe we'll still use the streets and everything, but we'd be hovering above them. You know, who knows? But I hope I'm around so, you know, when I go to my last doctor's appointment in 2050.
There you go. It's good thinking.
I'm hoping. 30 more years that I can drive. Hopefully I can still be driving. And
you won't be able to drive. You lose that driver's license, but by then you might have your pilot's license.
There you go. All you need is a voice to activate it. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get back to a little bit of reality. And again, we've been talking about... we're just about out of time. We do have a caller. We have Bill calling from California, Dave. So welcome to the program, Bill.
No, this is Christopher.
Oh, okay. Sorry, he has Bill.
Oh, oops. No, I think Bill is your producer. I don't know.
Well, what do you have for us, Chris? We're short on time, so be quick.
Well, I know you are, dear, and I just want to know, I just really appreciate that talk with, I just appreciate you and Dr. Allen, Dave, that is, and yourself, and how do I do a, I asked your main guy there, your producer, how to do a wire. Maybe you can give me more information. But anyway, I just wanted to comment in regard to this is not over, this election. Don't lose heart. You know, you've got One American News and you've got Newsmax, and they report truth. They really do. You know, I'd have to call it truth compared to the lies that the regular media, and you know, you guys are spot on. You really do. Produce a lot of truth, and thank you for that interview with Greg Hunter. He's awesome. Right. You know, he's a great guy. And brother, our sister. Anyway, I just want to share that with you. Now, how can I go ahead and should I call you after the show to do a wire?
That'll be fine.
Will that work? Okay, dear. I don't know if you're playing possible with this.
Give him that that number, Melody.
800-375-4188. Carla's there now. Oh, she can help you.
That's the same number. You know, I've retained your studio number for years. And, you know, again, to refresh your memory, I go back to Bob Chapman. But I'll tell you, Dave Allen?
Yes, sir.
Dave Allen? Sir, you do a wonderful job, and so does Butch. And Melody, you're just a stalwart. You're very special. And I'm all so right. grateful that people like you guys, you know, but I'm done. I'll get out of here, and I'll just call that after the show. And maybe we can set up a wire system because, you know, over the years, you know, I've been into this for more than two decades. I've seen it coming a long, long time. Anyway, may God both bless you. And I don't know if I'll be able to chat with you, Mel, or not, but whomever I speak with, hopefully they can guide me through the wire process.
All right, well,
I'll tell
it.
You what, with words like those, you can call any time.
All righty, Chris, David, we're just about out of time.
Thanks for your time.
I know we are, you guys. Thanks for being there. You're very special to me.
Thank you for being there, too. Thank you, Chris.
Our pleasure. We do it for people just like you.
All right.
You informed and to hear your feedback.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time. So our number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And you know what, folks? You know, our economy, the numbers that we talk about, it really doesn't matter who's in office, because we're going to continue down this path, and there is a day of reckoning. So 800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.